Hello, and welcome to the MicroISV Show. I'm your host, Michael Lehman. We're back again with the second half of the interview I did with Bob Walsh, author of the book MicroISV, From Vision to Reality, and founder of Safari Software. In this episode, Bob talks about how he's been a developer since 1983, and how, after the dot-com crash, finding himself working twice as hard for half as much, he went into business for himself. Bob talks about the inspiration for his product, Masterless Professional, why he chose Windows, why he built a desktop application, and finally closes with a look at the challenges of wearing so many hats as a MicroISV. All right, this week we're back with Bob Walsh, who is the proprietor of Safari Software and the author of MicroISV, From Vision to Reality. And this is part two of the interview in which we're going to talk about Bob's company and his experience as a developer. So, Bob, let's start out if you give our listeners a brief introduction to your company and its products.
Sure. Safari Software, Inc. is basically myself and my partner, Tina Marie Rossi. And what we do here is we have one commercial product right now. It's called Masterless Professional. The current version is 1.5. It sells for $24.95 after a 45-day trial, and that gives you a license to run it on any two PCs you may own.
All right. And so what technology and tools did you use to develop Masterless Professional?
Well, here's my moment for IT embarrassment. This is a Visual 6 application using a Microsoft Access MDB backend to hold its data. Yes, I know it's old. Yes, it's not the latest and greatest. But at the time, it made sense to develop it with a mature product and language that I really understood well. And the next version, 2.0, well, that's going to obviously be in Visual Studio 2005.
All right. We talked a little bit about in the last show, you know, why you went into business for yourself. But for people who might not have heard that, can you give me a couple sentences of a recap of, you know, why did you go into you know, developing software and working for yourself?
Sure. I started writing software in 1983 after getting out of the journalism business. And I've been a contract programmer, IT professional in the Bay Area since then. After the dot-com boom and bust, I noticed I was working twice as hard and making half as much, and I decided that it was time for a change. So Masterless Professional was the product I really have had cooking in the back of my mind for a long time. It's that piece of software that I really wanted to do for myself because I needed it, and I thought there were enough people out there who also needed it. I've always been something of a time management freak. When you are a self-employed IT person, you'd better be. Over the years, I've gone through all sorts of different methods and programs and books and different ways of what is the best way of organizing your time. And back in 2002, when I decided it was time to start moving out of being just an IT programmer, I looked at what was out there in terms of time management and productivity. David Allen's books about getting things done were head and shoulders the best information out there. But I still felt that they lacked good implementation when it comes to at least the type of life that I live. So to make a long story short, I wrote a free Microsoft Excel-based version of this application to test the waters. That worked out real well. And about a year ago, I brought the first version of Masterless Professional out as commercial software.
So Masterless Professional is a time management tool?
Well,
or how would you categorize it?
I call it a task management tool for a single user. Here's kind of the basic question in life. Everyone has 1,440 minutes a day, no more, no less. What value you get out of that time, and how well you oversee everything you're trying to do is going to determine in a large degree how successful you are in life. What this program does is makes three things really very easy to do. One, as you set up projects and populate them with tasks, you begin to see just how much time you're committing forward in your own sort of personal timeline that you're going to have to deal with at some point. Because two, every task takes some amount of time, has some amount of value, and some amount of difficulty. And what this program does is really try and focus on those factors so that as you work from the very topmost level down to the very lowest detail of an individual task, you can easily keep track of everything and just see where your time is going. Is it going on things that matter, or is it going on things that don't matter?
Sounds good. Something I'm going to have to take a look at myself. So let's talk about the software development process. Obviously, we're here on Channel 9, and the people who are listening to this podcast are people developing for Windows for the most part. So what do you like most about developing software in the Windows environment?
Quite honestly, 95% market share of all PCs out there. That is the reality of what's out there. And as a business person, and as somebody who has actually been around the park a few times with Apple, the reality is you want the largest potential market for your software products. Now, there are those who would argue that that doesn't really matter anymore in the age of the internet. Everything is web-based. But certain products work best on the desktop. Certain products make the most sense on the web.
All right, so that sounds good. So now comes your opportunity to tell us, what do you like least, or what do you wish Microsoft would do to make developing for Windows easier?
I would say the top of the list is take some little teeny percentage of all those resources that are being poured into making life wonderful for programmers in the enterprise and deal with all of us programmers who aren't in the enterprise. You know, Team Foundation looks really cool, and there's a ton of stuff out there that looks really good if you are, you know, happen to be part of a 100-person IT department. But the reality is, most programmers aren't. I think Microsoft has taken some real positive steps in this direction with the expressive versions of Visual Studio, but they can still go a lot further, and I hope that they do, because honest to God, Visual Studio needs to reclaim some ground that Visual Basic 6 and earlier had for Microsoft as of a few years ago. I'm seeing more and more Borland Delphi applications popping up on people's desks, and, you know, that would be a bad thing to neglect for not Microsoft.
Yes, exactly. And as you might imagine, being the micro ISV evangelist here at Microsoft, that's an effort that I'm putting a great deal of energy into every day, thus the micro ISV show.
There you go.
As one of the many efforts that I'm putting out in that direction. So let's talk about the reality of your development process. What was your biggest development challenge in bringing your product to market?
I think the biggest challenge on pure development was taking a sort of not stable to the point of being totally static programming environment and stretching VB6 way beyond what most people would think a VB6 application is capable of. The techniques have been out there for years of how to basically pack a VB6 application with a great deal of functionality, getting that to work an actual application that's more than just a demo, that was a serious challenge.
Yes, I understand. And you want to say a little bit more about that in terms of give some specifics?
Well, I would say that, you know, one of the things that made VB6 was the huge market of third-party controls that you could buy. And there are controls in here that I'd still be running this if I had to recreate these controls. Everything from Infragistics UltraGrid to Exceed Software's Smart UI, these are tools that make possible really robust applications. I'd say that the challenge for me right now is I'm now retooling as a Visual Studio.NET VB 2005 type of programmer, and I see a lot of the same familiar faces out there in the control development market. But I'm hoping to see a lot more, and I'd like to see just perhaps Microsoft can do something to spur that on, because every good control out there makes developers' lives easier.
Well, I can assure you that we also have evangelism people who are focusing on the components and control space to do just exactly that, both for Visual Studio 2005 and technology beyond the current released products. So, and I completely agree with you, having built an application, among other things, back in the days of VB3 and VB4, again, even back that far, that was the biggest reason, is that I didn't have to build all of that stuff. You know, having been a Windows developer back in the days when you had to write everything from scratch,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was really the reason why Visual Basic and thus, I believe, Windows, you know, really took off, because all of a sudden you could stand on the shoulders of the people that came before you instead of standing on their toes, as they say.
I think that's a large reason why Microsoft has done so well for and with developers. And I think, going back to your question of what should Microsoft really be doing more with to make life easier for developers, I say they need to remember their roots as far as individual and small teams of developers and really do more for them. It's not the quantity of information. I mean, it's like turning on 10 fire hoses when you turn on MSDN.
Yes.
It is the quality and the focus more than anything else.
That sounds good, and I agree. It's one of the reasons why I'm working very diligently to try to help out people in the MicroISV community, because it's a fundamental thing that we can do to help what really is the largest majority of Windows developers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, those are some of the things that you ran into during the sort of technology aspect of building your product and your company. Maybe talk a little bit about what were the business challenges. Obviously, you know, as we talked about in the first part of this interview, you know, you wanted to be successful and you went out to look for information and found that wanting, which inspired you to write your book. But in terms of actual practical implementation of the things that you learned, you know, what was the hardest thing to do for you as an IT professional to be in business for yourself?
Well, I think the number one thing is you have to wear about 6 or 8 different hats.
Only that many?
Only that many, and it helps if you have some way to get a 40-hour day, which, of course, I don't. As an IT programmer, as you know, a software type of guy, you know, I've never had anything but low things to say about marketing people. I mean, honestly, the number of marketing jokes that go around in programming circles, you know, for real. We're talking about a lot of scorn and derision when it comes to marketing. But, you know, one thing I learned and I had to learn is there's some real substance out there when it comes to marketing. Think of it, if you will, as sort of a specialized programming language, and it's important that you take care of it in that regard, and you learn what works and what doesn't work out there when you are in marketing. You can't just throw things up on the internet and expect them to sell themselves. It doesn't work that way.
Really? Gosh, that's what I really was hoping. I'm just kidding. But yes, I understand, and that is something that I've heard over and over again, and certainly know. Again, it's not simply a matter of if you build it, they will come. You have to, you know, make it findable, and you have to inspire people to come in the first place.
You have to find, and you know, this gets back to why do you want to start a micro ISV in the first place? Okay, I submit there's sort of three reasons. Money, a real desire to write the software that's sort of like inside of you that you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, money. And by that, I want to stress that I really do see that as the future of Safari software goes, as I bring other products and other versions of this product to market, I'm going to be able to carve out a better life for myself than I could ever do selling my time by the hour or by the job or by the day. And that's the thing that I find most exciting, plus the fact that win or lose, I'm my own boss.
Yes, I, having been there myself for actually most of the last 20 years, I absolutely understand. Absolutely understand. So, having gone down that road, how did you end up deciding, you know, how you sell your software? I mean, presumably you're selling it as a try before you buy, shareware sort of thing. You know, how did you decide on the amount of time, and how do you actually make money come in the door?
Okay, well, because the software takes a fairly high level of user commitment in terms of their time, I want to make it as easy as possible for them to switch into it from whatever they've been doing. Now, in a perfect world, that would mean that I could import from the 297 other task management programs out there. But in reality, the only one that really matters is Microsoft Outlook. And in this world, Outlook is, you know, the mountain, and I am sort of the little, hopefully, the little daisy on the side of it that people come to admire and like and use. So there has to be the reality that you want to make it as easy as possible for people to adopt your software. Hence, a 45-day trial. And this is a trial that if you start on your desktop and then you decide, oh, I'm going to put this over on my laptop because I spend half my time on my laptop, you move a folder and a file and you're up on a 45-day trial on that end as well. Making it easy for you to pay, if you don't like PayPal, I use another processor, 2CO or 2checkout.com, it's usually called.
Mm-hmm.
We have unconditional money-back 30-day guarantee, which I have had to actually only use once, but people want to see that when you are selling something on the Internet. And I think more than anything else is that I've put a considerable amount of time and effort into how I do tech support, because on one hand, it can eat you alive in terms of your time, especially in terms of your future version development time. On the other hand, you know, the sooner you can respond to people, the better on the net, and occasionally even by phone. Though most of the time I do tech support just straight on the net as email.
All right. Well, Bob, I really appreciate your time to come on the Micro ISV show and talk not only about your book, but about your business. What would you like to, if you could stand on the soapbox and talk with your fellow developers, and, you know, potentially there's thousands and thousands of them listening to us right now, what would you like to give them as a piece of advice or a call to action or, you know, whatever, what would you like to say?
Well, besides safarisoftware.com, and todoorelse.com, which is my blog, I would say, come on in, the water is fine. And there's a lot of opportunity out there for micro ISVs that we haven't even begun to tap all the possibilities there. Don't get stuck thinking that you need to write, you know, the most obvious program that everyone else has done. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity out there in what people call the long tail. And I would just say that that's the place to go and, you know, set yourself free.
Well, Bob, I appreciate that very much. And if I were getting back into the business of building software for myself, I know that that would be very inspiring to me. All right, Bob, thank you again very much for your time. This is your host, Michael Lehman, and you can find more Micro ISV podcasts at channel9.msdn.com. Click on the link on the left for the Micro ISV show. And until next time, I'll see you on Channel 9.